Okay, here in Lady Shiva Hashem, and the Dalit Kislev in my second 19th Shir in Derech Hashem. And we're up to a question, but the person with the question is not her. Not the question, but she has. Okay, lost the opportunity. So, we'll pick up the question, which is second one. We'll go back to Parag 9. Once again, the picture in Parag Dalit is a very, very key parag. This parag presents the reality of Torah and Mitzvah, and really, if a person learns Mesilas Yesharim, learn Parag Aleph and Mesilas Yesharim, so after you learn Parag Dalit of Derech Hashem, which we're about to conclude, you go and you learn Parag Yesharim, and you see it with different eyes. You see the word there is, you see how it's really, how it fits in with the Derech Hashem of things we learned. And you realize where he's coming from, why he says certain words, and it's a whole different outlook, really. You know, we think, you know, we have to do mitzvahs. That's the goal. The goal is the mitzvahs, and the reward is Gan Eden. So the Ramchal tells us a whole different picture. The goal and the point is the purpose of creation, the purpose of our creation, the purpose of creation of the world, and we are the central center piece of the world. We are the reason the whole universe was created. The purpose is so that the purpose is the end goal, that our neshamas be able to receive the biggest benefit possible, to experience the greatest pleasure possible, and that is, of course, that is something that we don't know exactly what it is, but it's the spiritual pleasure of being with Hashem, having the Oras Hashem. The Neshama, which starts off as a Chelet Kamal, and is plunged into a Guf, we go through life, and it earns, that's the key point here. The nisyonos we have, the difficulties we have, the choices we make are the goal, are the purpose. That's what it's all about, that we make choices, and we're the ones that purify and inject spirituality into our neshamas. The degree to which we do so, clean off the neshama from the muck of the gashmius, of olam hazeh, of unawareness of Hashem, of not thinking about Hashem, and to whatever degree we, and the mitzvah are a stepping stone. The mitzvah is a way, it's like a cleanser, right? Like you have for Pesach, you have 613 cleanses for 613 kinds of dirt. When we gave the other marshal 613 machines in the gym, each one exercising a different part of the person, of the neshama, and each mitzvah's gear, each mitzvah of doing and each lav of refraining polishes and shines a different aspect and a different part of the neshama. It's really is much, much more complex than that, as complex as that sounds, because each person is different, and each person has a different avodah, and each neshama, each person's neshama, each different person's neshama relates to everything in a different way. So that's the idea. The mitzvahs are the way we are konesh lemus, we make our neshamas shine, and to that degree, we grow, and we grow spiritually, and that's the degree of pleasure, or of benefit, or of goodness we'll experience forever and ever and ever. And the point of everything is we should be the owners of our shleimus by choosing. So he says every mitzvah is geared toward a different thing. In paragraph 8, he said that there's a general
I appear as the power steering and power braking in a car, there's a general idea that gives everything more power, and that is Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Not only are they two specific mitzvahs, but they're also the context in which we do everything. We feel, he described it, that was a paragraph Ches, loving Hashem, being nichnat Hashem, being in awe of Hashem, and every time we do something, it's just empowered that much more by Ava and Yira. I thought it was like, you know, the brake and you have the steering, and power brakes, power steering. Paragraph Tess said one more thing, that there's a super mitzvah. There's one mitzvah that has a special shine, and it's brighter than all the other mitzvahs. It makes it shine brighter. It brings a person closer to Hashem. That's the shine. And that's Talmud Torah. He describes Talmud Torah as having two levels. We'll assume the first level is just plain learning it, and then delving into it. The second level, understanding it deeper and deeper, up to the point where he says, he wants us to learn Kabbalah, just straight to him. A man experiences, let's say, let's go learn anybody, let's go learn Navi. Well, let's go learn Chumash. So you can learn it and translate it. That would be the first level. Then you delve into it deeper and deeper. You can learn it with Rashi, you can learn it with Ramban. Learn it with Kliyakar, you learn it with Arachaimakar. These are just printed before him on the page. There's thousands and thousands of Svarim on Chumash. There's Chazal's interpretation of the Chumash. There's all the Midrashim. There's so that you can just delve into it deeper and deeper and deeper and gain a deeper and deeper and deeper understanding of the Chumash. And it has this in Gemara. You can learn, the fifth grader is starting Gemara, and he's learning Gemara the way, claimed. Then it goes into it deeper and deeper, and right? Many people stay by the first level, and they're just happy that they have more of their heart. So they're happy if they just understand it on a simple level, and they want to finish Shas. That's pretty good. Because you want to learn about every area, etc. Well, just like the 613 mitzvahs, and each mitzvah shines a certain light of the neshama, turns on a certain bulb, a pixel, in the brightness of the neshama. Umbra does it much more powerfully, and each, there's so much to learn. So you want to learn about this and shine that. Let's say you learn about Eglon Rufa, and you learn about Shatnez, and you learn about Basar B'Cholov, and you learn the Midrashim about the Chumash. So everything you're learning, and you're seeing it through the eyes of the Torah. And the Torah is the most powerful mitzvah of them all. It shines, makes the Neshama shine the brightest. So everything you learn, he says, every part of Torah that you learn, so whatever, as when I do a mitzvah, say, I do Esro with a certain light in my neshama, I do Tefillin with a certain light in my neshama, Mezuzah, Chala, Kibbutz Avayim. When I learn about it, and I see what Hashem has to say about it, and he adds conditions, I learn it, he calls it the Kedusha of the Tahara, I learn it as the Dvar Hashem, with the proper Kovid Rosh, not as a subject, or not, I sit there and I make fun, and just treat it like a subject in a class. You learn it with Yira Shemayim, and we'll say in Perek Dalet, Nefesh HaChaim talks about that a lot also, that the learning has to be, where unfortunately we see, it was probably always like that, it's not something specific to nowadays. Sometimes the people to acting a certain way, which is extremely wrong and inappropriate, and you say, but they learned so much Torah, how could it be? And the answer is, because you have these conditions of learning it with Yirah Shemayim, and learning it with Kedusha V'Tahara, and learning it with Shema, and learning it Almanas La'asos, so that it can teach you how to act and what to do. It's not so simple, it's not a math book that you just read it, and take a test on it and pass. So that's the answer. The answer to all those questions, how could it be, is that you need your Shemayim.
Okay.
Yes, sure.
Would this apply for women as well?
Yes. Women in two ways. We talked about this last week.
Oh, sorry.
No, nothing to be sorry about. It raises a very important question, especially since this is a class of women. So you're sitting here thinking, wait a second, like, what about me? So do I have this power of Talmud Torah? So up until 100 years ago, the Gemara says, you know, this is a special power. Women always have mitzvahs, and etc. And Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem. But what about this peak, this thing that the Ramchal says, on top of the mountaintop, at the peak of the mountain, there's this super powerful mitzvah. And it's more powerful than anything else, and it's amazingly powerful, and it just does the job of shining it more than anything else. The women have to say, okay, we don't have that. So of course that's not true. So up until around 100 years ago, the story was like this. Women always were supposed to learn what to do. They never formally learned it. They learned it at home through their mothers. They always had to know what to, had to do their mitzvahs. So that's learning. Maybe for most of history, women were illiterate and didn't even learn Torah Shabbat. The Gemara makes the famous statement, that's a famous Gemara, that the women are the ones that enable the men's learning. Whether it's their children or their spouses, it's like Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar Zvulun wasn't able to learn as much as he should have, Chassid Shalom, as much as he would have liked to maybe, but he supported Yisachar, and so they're partners essentially. So the Gemara talks about the women in Dvarim Brachos as essentially being partners, and they have the power of the man's Talmud Torah because they are enabling it. Whether the man learns a whole day of Kollel, that doesn't matter, or he learns 3 hours a day. The point is maybe she'd rather he spend those 3 hours with her, or maybe she'd rather he earn more money, and, you know, but she enables him and she waits up for him, the Gemara describes, and serves him a hot tea and chocolate chip cookies. That's what the Gemara did that exactly. But it says she waits up for him, and you know she's waiting for him, and she makes it possible. That's the Gemara. There was an amazing revolution around 100 years ago through Sora Schneer. We'll call it 100 years ago, and women now learn. The reasons for that social revolution, which is really unheard of, cannot unheard of in Jewish life. Such a revolution, such a change of roles, such an upheaval of roles is virtually unheard of. It's always viewed with the greatest of suspicion, and it never really gets off the ground. And this did. Hashem wanted it to, so it did, obviously. You needed the players, Sora Schneer, you needed the Chafetz Chaim to approve of it, you needed the Gera Rebbe to approve of it, you needed the social conditions that made it necessary, even if it was felt it was revolutionary, but there was a huge problem of girls going off to derech. There was a huge problem of girls being, men were also caught up in it. There was all the Russian Haskalah, the Yiddish Haskalah, Zionism, Communism, Socialism. It was devastating. The Jewish world was being devastated, left and right. But girls were especially vulnerable because there was the enticement of learning, of knowledge, of freedom, and it spoke to them, you know. And so she has stepped into that, you know, she was a woman of the moment, and now we see the payros of women actually in many areas being, you know, girls go to school, they go to high school, they go to seminary, in many areas they're more knowledgeable than the men. It could be embarrassing on a date. But that's what happened. So actually the primary, but then they get married, right? And it's pretty rare that they continue their learning after marriage. Pretty rare.
To teach?
That's rare. That's not the majority of women. The minority. small minority of women teach at the time. But the norm, and so that's so it stopped the gap, and it makes so that once again, really, at the marriage, it's more of the enabling than the actual mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I mean, women are potter from Talmud Torah. There's no mincing words about that. They have to learn what they need to know to do their mitzvahs, but they're potter from the general mitzvah. If you made a list of mitzvahs that women have to do, Talmud Torah is definitely not on the list. And so really, we're back at the Gemara, but they're the enabler. And really, most of their lives, it's really back to the Gemara's formulation that they enable the men, and they're the Azer, and that's how they get it. That's really most of their lives. The revolution really made it, first of all, it made them, if not for what Sarashnir did, it seems like the Gedolim at the time felt that it will be disastrous. There won't be any women left that are willing to be an Azer to the husbands to learn. Because the Talmud HaTorah was down in the pits, was down in the dumps. And, you know, now, if a boy doesn't want to sit and learn right after he gets married, he wants to go to work, which is fine, if you know what I mean. But then he has trouble finding a good girl. It's trouble finding them because the girls don't want that. Not at least initially. Most girls. It's hard to find. This gets into a whole other social issue. But the answer to your question is that the Gemara says they hook into it by enabling the men. Either their husbands or their children. They're like the old, the quintessential Yisachar Zvulun, is women. Women are the Zvulun. They happen to have a lot of knowledge now and ability to learn, but they still do not have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And they actually, you know, I'm thinking now, they don't do it for most of their lives. The continuing education of women is a rarity. So, but what the revolution did is it made them appreciate Torah learning. And they really are the ones that saved the Jewish world. Many don't have said that. There would be no Aaron Kukla that could have banged his head against the wall. If there was no Sarashnir, then and there weren't the women willing to marry the boys that Aaron Kukla was producing, then it wouldn't have, the whole thing wouldn't have, now the pendulum has swung the other way, at least in the yeshiva world, where Kolel has taken over in a way that had never existed before. This would be a Kali Sol. But it's a corrective, most of the devastation of 150 years of Europe and the Holocaust. So this is a corrective. Hashem runs history, not people. We see things in hindsight and we say, wow, we're so lucky that Baron Kotler came along and the Kabbalist came along. And this one came along, and that one came along. It's amazing. But that's Hashem's maneuvering history. So the answer to the question is that women are not supposed to learn Derech Hashem. The answer is, so really, I think the correct answer is really not what I said about Sarashnir. The correct answer is that they're is the Gemara. But that's what they end up doing anyway most of their lives. They enable the husbands to learn. Sometimes they have to push the husbands out the door. Sometimes the husbands want to stay home and surf the internet or stay home and waste time and do anything. And the women have to, you know, have to earn their keep by enabling them. But really, again, women have mitzvahs. And they have Adas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And really this whole discussion is only to what degree can they hook into this super mitzvah that has such a powerful spiritualizing force that is the most powerful mitzvah of all. And the real answer is, I guess, back to the Gemara, that they're shutzim. the better practice. Like the Sukkot's book. They have a taste of it themselves. I think in hindsight, what history has shown is that A, that staunched the flow away from the Torah life. It fed their minds that was thirsty for knowledge. It was opened up to, it was opened up, and they had a thirst for knowledge. And the only area which was quenching the thirst was the secular world. The Yiddish world was not quenching the thirst. So it staunched the flow. It gave them an appreciation for Torah. It taught them the value of learning. It gave them a taste of learning. And ultimately, what we see happening, again, always in hindsight, we're never able to predict. But in hindsight, it created the whole kollel system where women willingly, either kollel or women willingly relinquish their right to have to be supported by the husband. They take on that burden, at least for a couple of years, that the husband could learn. And more importantly, and this we don't see so much, but at some point, most people go to work, most people are busy. Most people are busy with all sorts of things, and they have to keep their part of the partnership. And now they have to, push the husband out the door. They have to encourage him, and they have to be smart, and they have to encourage him and push him and show how crushing it is to them. And every man wants to be respected by his wife. That's really, whether they admit it or not, that's what they want. And if the wife shows that she will respect him commensurate with his Torah learning, so he'll go do Torah learning, she'll always shmart first. But ultimately, that's what it boils down to. Okay. I think I answered you more than you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what he says in the beginning of this paragraph. I said, I'm not going to learn it inside already. I said most of it. The amazing thing is that he tries to explain why Torah is so powerful. Because you know what it's like? He really describes it this way. Let's say you read a book. You read a book. And you read it again and again and again, and you start picking up the nuances of the book, and you start picking up between the lines, and you start picking up the conflicts of the characters without it being spelled out. And you actually enter the mind of the author. And you sort of say, I see what the author was driving at. I see where the author was going. I see what the author wanted to teach me here. And actually, I remember being in high school, and that's what they do with secular literature. I mean, they really take apart a story and they say, what was the author thinking? What did the author want? What value did the author want on the part? Did he do a good job? And, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Hashem is the ultimate author of the ultimate book. And when you're learning, that is really, really what you're doing. Using the word of secularism, but it's like you're studying a piece of literature and you're getting into the mind of the author. You're figuring out, I see that the author is trying to steer me towards this value. And let's say the stories of Chumash, he's trying to steer me towards this value. He's trying to teach me something. This is what he likes, this is what he doesn't like, this is good behavior, this is his moral system. It's Hashem we're talking about, so we're talking about the objectively true value system, the objectively true moral system, and that's what you're doing. You're really doing your mind melding with Hashem, I call it. You're really like becoming part of Hashem. You're getting into His mind and you're understanding Him. And that's called Yedias Hashem, V'yadatis Hashem. U'mala ha'oretz deyo es Hashem kamayim mayon mechasim. Of course, we're not touching a drop of Hashem is unknowable. Hashem is unfathomable. But this is what we do. We scratch the surface. We look about how the phenomena of Iran are described, or the own is described, or even the relation of Feinstein is described. And like these people knew everything. You know, that's what it seems like to us. They knew everything. And we, you know, we fumble along and we try to make our way, you know. But this is the degree to which you learn is the degree to which you're entering Hashem's mind and you're connecting with Hashem. And that's why it's the most powerful one. Now, he gives conditions that he elaborates upon in section Dal, as I said. He explains what he means by Kedusha with Tahara. He explains the condition of Yiras Hashem. You can't study it, you have to study it as the Dvar Hashem from Har Sinai. They used to learn standing up because of the awe in which, you know, I'm learning the Dvar Hashem. Hashem is speaking to me. Hashem is telling me what he wants. So, that's the answer to why certain people act in certain ways, and you say, but they learn Torah after they act that way. And the answer is missing, usually the answer is missing the Yerushalayim. We don't know what else they're missing, but that's what he explains, the Chevron Dalas. And really it's a Gemara and Shabbos. It's not a Chiddush, it's a Beferish of Gemara and Shabbos. The Nefesh HaChayim talks about it a lot. The Nefesh HaChayim, in fact, it was famous, and as the father of Yeshivas, Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he's like the Litvish approach. And Torah, 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 learning, 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 learning. But not that many people know that he says before you sit down to learn, you should spend 5 minutes to learn Musar and Yerushalayim. And every once in a while during your learning, you should like give yourself a Mustashah of Yerushalayim. Do it at the beginning before you start learning for 5 minutes. A few minutes, and then say that throughout, give yourself a booster shot. That's how important it is. And we see the payros, unfortunately, of people who were without Yerushalayim. Say it, and it makes a chilul Hashem, because people, you don't see Yerushalayim on someone. You could sometimes, but you just see, oh, look, he learns and he acts that way. How could that be? And there's more conditions. There's learning in order to know what Hashem's will is, realizing the source is Hashem, learning it because Lishma, the Chal talks about Lishma, he learns that Lishma means to do the Ratzon Hashem, to know what Hashem wants from me. That's the purpose of my learning is to reach the understanding of what Hashem wants. That has an Aramaic phrase is La Asuke Shainsa, Liba Tehilchasa. And really, again, this is not done so much in yeshivas anymore, in most yeshivas. They don't take it down to the degree of, you know, what's the halacha, what's the lemaisa. And that's not good. But again, everything was so impoverished in our learning and our minds, in everything. You read stories how they learned in Europe, you know, you read these books, and then you think of nowadays with air conditioning and halogen lights and every comfort of the world and thousands of svarim, and really nothing, it wasn't comfortable and there was not enough light and it was hot and cold and not that long ago. This is part of the problem nowadays. Hashem obviously knows, I guess, I don't know, he didn't confide in me, but it seems like if we wouldn't have it so easy, we wouldn't do it at all. That's what I think. But that always carries a tremendous desire, because when it's easy, the nola from Tzara Agra, you don't work as hard, you don't internalize as much. We all know that when we work on something and it goes difficult, then we gain much more out of it. And then, especially in Gashmius, the Shefa of the generation becomes a sign the other way. We're all, you know, the noble Meshus HaTorah becomes the sign of the door. You can have anything you want, and it's kosher too. So, okay, this is already a whole other discussion. So, that's Torah, and I want to start from, if you have the Derech Hashem of a Friedlander, we'll start from page Nun Beis, and the last paragraph of paragraph 9. But Ramchal makes clear that the learning, and this is why, you know, some people feel compelled to finish Shas and to want Daf Yomi and thus finish Shas, because otherwise they wouldn't stand a chance. It's because Ramchal makes clear that just like every mitzvah has its own light, its own machine in the gym, and it brings out the potential and the light of a different muscle and a different aspect of the neshama. So every topic you learn, the power of Torah doing that in the most powerful way, he says, the topic that you learn, look at the top of page Mem Beis, I hope you have it, should call Inyan Mehem Sheyaskil, Yukpav Yisatzei Benishmoso Madregim and Hamadregos Ayose Ramo Shemaylo Vashleimo Safiti. Every aspect, everything that you learn. Okay. Now we're up to the last three lines of paragraph test. And he says, Ubuchol Eilah and Yonim, he reminds us of the tremendous responsibility we bear. We're not just living for ourselves. This is in the Silas Yisharim, Perek Aleph, also, and the same author. I'm telling you, if you go back and learn Perek Aleph, Silas Yisharim, you'll understand everything there in a much clearer way if you learn this paragraph of section 1 in Derech Hashem. Ubuchalel and Yonim, it's not just you, it's not about you. Lodai, every person has an ennobling, uplifting effect on the whole Bria. Sometimes it's clear how, because the things I use in my Avodas Hashem get uplifted and spiritualized by my using them in my Avodas Hashem. But even, you know, I don't use the stars and the planets, like, so we don't know. We don't know many things we don't know. But I have an uplifting effect. The whole Bria was created for the purpose of man. Everything was created to aid man in his quest for shleimus, man, woman, mankind, in their quest for shleimus. So therefore, and this is really the Silas Hashem, this you have to read, the Silas Hashem Parak Aleph, he really makes a very big deal out of this. He says, and I'm going to read that from the Silas Hashem, he says, in Tanakh Kol Be'inyan, if you delve into it deeper, Tira, you'll see Ki Ha'olam is in Perek Aleph. Ha'olam Nivra L'Shima Sha'atam, the world was created in order to serve man. Adam who only B'Shikol Dago, and now he's in the balance. Ki Im Adam Nimshach Achar Ha'olam, if he follows his desires, his Gashmius, who Mishrachet Miboro, and he goes further from Hashem, he turns away from Hashem, he doesn't get his act together, he doesn't clean the lights, he doesn't wipe away the mud, he doesn't make the lights of his neshama shine. In Ehum Eskalkel, so he is that much further from Hashem, and when it's time for the ultimate, you know, situation, matzos, which doesn't take so long to come, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 120 years, a blink of an eye. So he's Mekulko, he just doesn't have that, he has the pleasure he experiences is weak, very weak. But also Mekalkel Ha'olam Imo, he has not uplifted the world. The world has lost his share in a lot of people, and a lot of people in a lot of generations. But every person has their share, and every person brings the world closer to spirituality and godliness. So he's makalkel ha'olam imo. V'hu sholeg ba'atzmo v'nidban poboro v'shtamish min ha'olam, and he uses the world as a siyua tavodos Hashem, hu v'sa'ale ha'olam atzmo v'sa'ale imo. And the world gets uplifted. Ki ne'ilu yigadu hu v'rius kulam v'yosam v'sham shei ha'odam ha'sholeg. They serve a person in his seat for shleimus. Kudish b'kudushasa yuzbarach. And so the Shem Paragala brings down this week's parasha. What's this week's parasha? Yikach me'avne hamoko v'yosav rash osof. And this Rebbe Rav Yitzchok v'avonim ki'ilu fuot upon which heaven would Yaakov Avinu's head rest. And they were arguing. And then this happened according to Rashi, Moshim, and it became one stone. But the concept is that the Bria only finds meaning in serving the Tzaddik, who's serving Hashem. So each one wanted to be the one that the Tzaddik would use, and the one he would use would obviously get uplifted. And then he says another story, when Hashem created man, he took him through Gan Eden, and he said, look at this tree, look at that tree, be careful you don't ruin my world. He's Zohar. So that's what the Sufi Shabbat Gav, that's what the Ramchal here says. Ukalelo yisroizayim ha-shekona odom ma'atzmo ma'ilu u'shleimus elu shematzius ha-brila kula b'klola general, b'prata, and each prat is prat, this ale is uplifted, b'mishtalem and his kona shleimus is injected with spirituality. It's not something we can see or measure, but it is b'prata, alimei ha-torah, and the same system. It's misale through our actions, through our doing mitzvahs. That's made more powerful if we do the mitzvahs in the context of Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And the most powerful of all is, the most powerful mitzvah of all is Talmud Torah. Okay, now, paragraph Yud. We've been talking about the light of the neshama and the shining of the neshama, the mud of all of Hazer. And the Ramchal in Yud wants to remind us what we're talking about. Because the mitzvahs have no inherent light, and the neshama has no inherent light, and whenever we talk about the light, it's like the moon, which reflects the light of the sun. Everything, the neshama is really a window, and it's Hashem is the sun, think of it that way. And the mud is blocking out the sun. And when we talk about making the neshama shine, we're talking about it's reflecting the light of Hashem. The source of everything is Hashem. That's where it all comes from. It doesn't come from mitzvahs. It comes from being close to Hashem, being spiritual, being godlike, being godly, being spiritual, like Hashem is spiritual, being kadosh, like Hashem is kadosh. The mitzvahs are the machines in the gym, but the light and the shining and the mitzvahs and the bonding with Hashem all come from Hashem. Ulam sivas kol masavi ha'odim, what it really means, all the situations of man, cheshchaso, darkness, if he turns away from Hashem, ubehiruso, or his brightness, if he turns towards Hashem, he ha'oras panav his barash mo'elo. We find these phrases, we say, Yoyer Hashem Pono Velecha Lichuneka, in Bichos Kayhanim. We say in Siv Shalom, Varchenu Avinu Kulonu Ki Echad Bi'or Panecha, with the light of your face. Ki'ilu, you see someone, and they turn to you, and they give you a big, welcoming, warm, nice smile. And you feel drawn to them. They do that. That's the normal way in the world. That's why people frown or they look down at the ground. You know, it's harder to establish a connection. If they look at you and they give a big smile, which you're supposed to do, it says in Pirkei Avos, I mean, the Kabbalists call on them to say the front of the apples. You give a big, welcoming, warm smile, that's what Hashem does. You're being like Hashem. And that's what Hashem does. And that's where the light is. The light is experiencing Hashem smiling at us. Hashem, that mayor part of his face, Hashem doesn't have a face obviously, right? His face shines at us. He's pleased with us. So he gives us a smile. He turns towards us, and we have his Aris Ponim. Again, we talk about Aris Ponim in the Sefer Bracha. Ki b'yor panecha nasata lanu Hashem alokeinu toras chayim v'abas chesed u'tfakol bracha v'rachamim v'chayim v'shalom. And the Kohanim say, Yor Hashem kol ha'melecha v'chunekah. We talk about Aris Ponim of Hashem. He shines his face towards us. Yeah, we struggle to not understand as much of this meaning. But the Ramchal's point is, never forget where this light is coming from. It all boils down to Hashem. Nothing has any inherent light. The Neshama doesn't have light. Mitzvahs don't have light. Hashem has light. And you're doing the... You can block the light. Just like you can block the light of the sun from streaming in the window by throwing mud at the window. Or you can put down the tris, or you can put down the window shade, and you're blocking the light from coming in. So when you do an aveir, or you fail to do a mitzvah, you're blocking the light. So he's just getting down to more nitty gritty. Till now we just talked about the neshama's light, and now he's saying, well, guess what? The neshama is just a window to the sun. The sun is Hashem. So it's just a reflect, it's like the moon, it's a reflection of Hashem's light. Hashem turns away from us. The degree to which Hashem shines his face upon us. Right? You say in Shemona Esrei, now you have a little inkling of what it's talking about. To whatever degree Hashem is mayor upon of, Misrabe is multiplied, is increased, Hazoch, our purity and our shlemus. We shine. Kemisha Yil Elar also. And again, we earn that. When we do Averas and we don't do mitzvahs, we're pulling down the window shade and we're not letting the sun shine in. When we do mitzvahs, it's just going deeper into it. Till now we talked about establishing the pixel, right? And making, putting in a bulb, brightening the bulb, making it shine. Now we say, you know what? That's not really what's happening. What's happening is that Hashem is shining upon it and making it shine. And we either block out Hashem or let him in. The degree to which we have the Or Ponim of Hashem, Hachushir HaShleimus, and HaShleimus that we keep talking about, the Hazoch, the purity, HaNimshach Nimenu, that's the godliness, is the degree to which we are said to be basking in Hashem's Oras Ponim, Meir Ponim. The Hepar Zeh HaHelem, and he turns aside from us, that's the Hester Ponim. Now, we have to stop here, but in the next paragraph he's going to say, that realize, and again he completes the marshal, Hashem is always there. You pull down the window shades. Even though we talked about Hester Ponim, so you think Hashem's playing peekaboo with us. Hashem, the sun is going behind the clouds. He said, no. Hashem is always there. The sun is always there. It's always a bright day. Hashem is there for us. We create the cracked cloud. We pull down the window shade. We put mud on the windows. It's all in our hands. Hashem doesn't really, we talk like that. We say, Haster, Haster, Ponai, Be'omahu. So Ramchal is explaining these three last lines of paragraph Yud. No, it's not, I'm sorry, paragraph Yud continues. But in these three lines, he says, you know, Hashem doesn't really turn away from us. We are pulling, it's like you play peekaboo with a baby. So you can play hide and seek and you go hide. Maybe you're scared. Where's the parents? It is. Hashem's never hiding. We're playing peekaboo because we're putting the blanket over the baby's eyes. But Hashem is there. So this really gives us the proper hashkafa. Hashem is always there for us. And Hashem has always made this to us. And Hashem is always shining upon us. We are the creators of to what degree we will bask in his shining light. And it's not that if you do an Averis, he turns away. It's not even that, says the Ramchal. If you do the Averis and you don't end it, then you're pulling down a window shade. You're blocking the sun. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here. So we'll start again. When we read over these last, these lines, Baruch Hu. Okay.
Thank you.